All righty, let's turn to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. And 61.
Y'all come close.
Huh?
Y'all come close.
That is the chapter, right?
That is the chapter.
Yeah, but he did 60. Oh, he did do 61. I was thinking 62.
I said to myself, hey, he gonna get on my message today. And so
I wondered if we'd ever do this.
Come car and notice with Bill.
Oh me. Well, oh, too. Yeah, this coming Saturday. Right? Yeah, this coming Saturday. The stew, yeah.
What time will the stew be about ready to eat?
I'm going to say by 4:30 anyway.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I know we haven't mentioned it in anything like that. At least I haven't heard it that I mentioned. But I think, too, we need to just let people know, you know, the ones that we come in contact with, let them know that they are invited. I mean, they are invited. I know that, you know, the people is here at the church is the one to put the money in it, but still I believe that we need to really think about what we must be doing. We must be doing all we can to get the people in church, because I know sometime, I don't know, when is Sister Teresa going to set up?
Saturday.
She going, okay. So, you know, we know she gonna set up, and we know some people are gonna come in for that, so hey.
They're gonna be ready by then.
Well, I know, but they can come back. I mean, you know, just let them know, and I mean, hey, we never know. If we get one individual like that to come to church, it's gonna be worth it, I believe. And, I reckon probably should have said, you know, talked to y'all about that sooner, but, I just failed to do it. But you need to pray for starting the week after. You need to pray for the week for revival, and that the Lord will just do what he intends to do. And if we have any other intentions about any other ideas about doing anything different, then he needs just to kind of say, you get out of the way now. Just get out of the way. We got to do it my way. And that's what I want. I want the Lord to do it his way.
We mailed 23 notices yesterday.
Yeah. We mailed down out. Plus, I got some flyers right here too. And y'all pick up some. And I'm gonna make some more. And I'm gonna bring some more here tonight. And I'm gonna bring some more here Wednesday night too. Plus, I'm gonna try for maybe me and Brother Bill can kind of get together one afternoon, kind of go and pass some out too. So, but. All I said. Well, let's get into the message. But here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, I just want to read one verse of scripture right here, and then I'm gonna turn over to the book of Thessalonians, chapter 1, and 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, there. But here in chapter 61 of the book of Isaiah, in verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good things unto the meek. Good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That one verse right there, that sounds like Paul's writing. But I know he didn't. I know he didn't write this. He didn't pin this verse down. But here over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says this in verse 7. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with the everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with prayer, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus. In verse 1, chapter 2, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither the spirit, nor by the word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for your mercy. We thank you for your marvelous grace. Thank you for saving us, Father. Now, Lord, we just ask, Father, you'll be with us as we open our lips of clay, Father, that your words may come forth. And, Father, may encourage the people, encourage me also, Lord. And, Father, we just want to thank you and we want to love you, because you are worthy of all of our love. And we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Right here we see, right here where it's talking about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also speaking about so many other different things too. But here in verse 10 of chapter 61 of the book of Isaiah, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, As my bridegroom hath decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adoreth herself with her jewels. The garment right here is a scripture. The garment, I believe, the Lord that God is speaking of right here through Isaiah, he's speaking of the scripture. We see right here, it says, "For he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation," which we know that salvation is scripture. We know salvation is the word of God. And the word of God is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. We know also the word is also God the Father. And the word is the Holy Spirit. So we are clothed with the scripture that he is so graciously has given us, that we can walk in life and we can have the scripture walk with us daily. But we, as an individual that has character, our character can build up. Our character can be and may be built up through the Word of God. If we don't have no character, we don't have no testimony. And if we don't have no testimony, we have no character. They work hand in hand together. I know that I've had some preachers to tell me, and some people tell me, that don't make sense. Talking about an individual's character. An individual says that. I said, well, if you got character, you must have some kind of testimony. And to have a good testimony, you must have a good character about yourself, where people can look to you and say, I believe I can just trust him with anything. I can trust him with my life. I can trust him with the things that I come up with. And my prayers, I can go to him and I can ask him to pray for something, and I won't have to worry about him going around and telling to people. That's character. That's also a testimony too. But we can have a good testimony, and we need to have a good character too. Caleb, in the Old Testament, Caleb, he had a good character about himself. Even David did fall, and he fell into the grips of sin. But once he come back, and once he asked God, he said, "God, forgive me, for I have sinned against you." And he didn't say anything to God about, "God, I want you to give me my salvation back." No. He said, "Restore unto me the joy that I have through your salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." That's what you call character. When we can admit that we're wrong, I believe that speaks of character. Because it takes an individual, it takes a strong individual, it takes a strong Christian to say, "I'm wrong." To say, "I'm wrong." But there are many people out here who won't admit that they're wrong. I know I'm wrong at times, more times than often. Pick up your cup of flour right there. You take care. You have a good afternoon.
Y'all too.
All righty.
See y'all.
Bye-bye. Take care of him. But if you have a good character, people will recognize that. People can recognize what kind of character you have. And if people come to church, they'll have a good testimony. They're supposed to. They're not just to come to church just to say, well, God, help me. I mean, I took an hour out this week, and I'm going to give you an hour today. That don't show a good testimony. That don't proclaim an individual with good character that feels that way. We must always come to the house of God and believing that we're going to be lifted up. And the Lord is going to bless us. But we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Romans chapter 13 and verse 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Speaking of good character. When we can go ahead and when we can put on the Lord Jesus Christ and through the word of God, when we get saved, the Lord Jesus Christ can come and surround me, can surround you. And you know, I love to be around people that like to talk about something that I love. But I'd rather talk to people about the Lord. Yes. There one time I used to do some woodworking at the house. I used to make furniture. I used to build this and build that. Because I was good at with my hands. But I had to thank the Lord for the ability to do it. And you could have a good character in doing what you love. What I loved there was building furniture. And yes, and I went out and I talked to people that wanted me to build this and build that. But they wanted me to build it the way that they saw fit. They wanted me to build it with a cheap lumber, cheap material. And I said, I can't do it. I said, I can't go out here and just throw something together. I had an individual up in Druid Hills, and I went away and talked to her. She wanted a cabinet, a hutch-like type cabinet with louver doors at the bottom in her living room. Now, I could build what she wanted to build. I even drew it out and everything. But when I went back over there and when I showed it to her, she said, that's exactly what I want. She said, I want the louver doors at the bottom where people can't see what's on the shelf. But I don't want no regular doors on it. I said, well, okay. And then she's going to want me to, above that, have a flat place up there, like it's going to be a hutch type. Then she had, I think it was three or four different shelves there. And going to have individual places in there to sit stuff. I could do it. I knew I could do it. I didn't have a problem doing it. I've done it before. And then I give her a price. And to me, I didn't think it was all that bad of a price. It won't be $230-something, I believe it was. I mean, I want in it to really, what you say, make a living at it. I just in it to help people and to build what they could afford. But she come back, she says, now, what kind of lumber are you going to use? I said, well, I'm going to use a poplar. I said, I can use poplar wood, and I can stain it to make it any color that you want it to be. Because that's one of the rare pieces of wood that you can do that to. All right, she said, okay. She said, now what's this going to cost me? And I told her, I said, well, I think it was $236 or $238, something like that. And she said, well, can you build it any cheaper than that? She said, do you have to use that type of wood? Can you just go down Lowe's and just get some shelving board? I said, yeah, I could, if you're going to take it and put it downstairs in your basement or out in a garage somewhere where people are not going to see it all the time, and you're not going to be all that careful with it, and you can just set anything and everything you want to on it. You're not going to go down there and place everything, and it will be all shiny and everything. I said, I can't build it the way you want it to build and me put it down in the living room. I said, because that's where all the people comes when they visit you. She said, yes. I said, I can't do that. I said, because what are they going to do? They're going to come in. First thing they're going to notice, they're going to come in. They say, well, I know she got a hutch there. And like the majority of the people, they ain't going to say nothing to hurt their feelings. They're going to say, "Somebody nice looking one. Who made it for you? Mr. Mayhan? I did custom cabinets." I said, if I make something like that, I do not want to put my name on it. I don't want to say I built it. Because that right there is going to ruin my character. It's going to ruin in what I do. And I said, I can't do that. And I believe it's the same way in a Christian's life, that we must tell people the truth. We shouldn't give up on the truth to be able to help someone that they can understand it better. They ain't gonna understand the Word of God no better than that confounded black snake out there. Why? Because they don't know anything about the Word of God. They don't know anything about the Lord Jesus. That's the reason he said in verse 14 in the book of Romans, said, but ye must put on what? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Other words, wrap our soul up in the Word of God. We must wrap our life up with the Word of God. We need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ so we can live and act like a human being ought to act. If we have the Lord Jesus Christ on us, if we know Him, if we're wrapped up in His Scripture, then we'll obey Him. We obey Him at all cost. We need to live and act like a Christian. We need to live and act like that, yes, we've got a testimony. And we need to live and act to where I'm not ashamed of it. Do you know people today that you can say right now that they must be ashamed of their salvation? Because they never want to talk about him. I mean, you know, hey, why would I want to talk about the Lord? What did he do for me? I'll tell you the reason I like to talk about him. And I'll tell you the reason I do. It's because he took my place to where I wouldn't have to go to hell. I mean, people today, they just don't understand it. They just want to ride out life. Just like this storm that we just had. Matthew. I read something the other day on Facebook. Somebody had commented that all the havoc and everything that Matthew was dishing out through the storm and through the wind and through the rain and everything. And they said, we must pray for them. Yeah, we definitely do. We need to pray for them, the people. But it did not end there. But it says, think about this though. Just thankful that we got Mark, Luke, and John. They behave in theirself. We as individual, we are the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us a testimony. He gave us something that we could hang our hats on. He gave us something that where we can trust in him. And yes, and I've been clothed. And I've been wrapped up with the Word of God. And I've been covered by his precious blood. I've seen people on TV and around that they would go and they would be making up or fixing their favorite vegetable or salad or whatever. And they would start out with I don't really think about cooking, so I'm just for that. Well, they're going to start out something basic. Then they're going to add something to it. Then they're going to add a little more. Each thing that they add to it is going to make it taste a little better. You can take cream potatoes. You can take potatoes and you can cut them up in chunks. And you can put them in there and mash them all up. And everything. But then you can add a little something to it. And it'll make it taste a little different than what it did the first part. Tastes mighty good, man. But I believe you can taste that. Then I'll add something else until I've got everything in there that I want. Then we'll put the last ingredient on it. I know some people, I've seen some of them that they take that, I don't know what they call it, or some type of clear liquid or oil or whatever, and they'll take it straight. Hey, Jesus
Christ made it a way for me to be able to escape hell. He went to Calvary. He hung on the cross for me and for you. Then he went back to heaven and he was sitting there and he was about ready to sit down beside his Father there in heaven. But his Father said, "Son, you're not finished now. Because I just heard you got some of your followers. They're having a great big old pity me party. They're discussing on what they need to do next. They didn't listen to a thing you said and the thing that you were trying to teach them. So I need you to go back. I need you to go back and you need to go there where they're at. And you need to reiterate to them what your purpose was here on earth. You need to reiterate to them that no, he's not with them now. But he is also. They have to go and do what you've asked them to do. It takes us as individuals, it takes an individual to do something. To do something that they can earn something. You know, we can go to work. You go to work all your life. And if you just go in there and say, "Well, I'm here today. Now, I may do that. I may not." If you got that kind of attitude when you go in there, you think you're going to ever get a raise? You think you will ever get a compliment from y'all? No. When we took the job, when we went, when we asked, and when we applied for the job, we accepted the job for what he was going to pay us. Right? So we should not go in next week, or 2 or 3 weeks, or maybe a month or two. And say, "Shoot, man, I can do the job just as well as they can. I believe I can do it better than they can." Then you get that in your head, and you say, "Well, I can do it better than they can. Now I think it's the time for me to raise." No, it ain't. Because you didn't ask him. You didn't say, "Well, if I come in and if I prove myself, will I get a raise in 90 days? Will I get more vacation?" We have to ask all them questions. And not only that,
same way in being a Christian. We come out and we did ask and we did say these things, but we didn't say them in this way. We say, "Lord, I trust you. But," there goes that word "but" again. The three-letter word, the two-letter and the three-letter word always gets in the way of serving the Lord. It always get in the way of the Lord's blessings on our life. The two and three letter words, the "if." When we pray, we should never use the word "if" in our prayer. Because when we do, we're saying, "Lord, I don't know if you can really answer this prayer or not." That's when you say "if." We say, "If, Lord. If this, if that." And then we'll say, "But." Like we can't do it. I mean, even though we got God right there beside of us, and even God's going to do it anyhow, we don't even trust that God can do it because we got but there. I always put something else in front. Always putting something else. But not only should we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we should put on a new man. That's Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24 says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." The old man, which is corrupt, is sinful, and has an old nature. We need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, we can have a new nature. Through him, we can have something that we can cherish. That can help us through life. And through him, we can have a spiritual life. I believe an individual that is saved, and that I'm backslid on God, and they're out here in the world doing what they say that they're doing, and every time that they ask the question, they tell a question, say, "Well, I'm saved. I can tell you exactly where I got saved at. Matter of fact, I can tell you exactly who took the Bible and led me to the Lord." You may know all them things. But if you're not faithful to him, it's a difference in accepting and believing in what you have somebody have told you. Oh yeah, we can have, we think that we got salvation and we got this and we got that. But we see no evidence of it. You know people like that? Yes, I do. They don't mind telling you, "Hey, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven." They done got that in the mind that they believe that. They believe that themselves. But what we have got to do, we got to get them to know that they're lost. Until we can get them to the place to where that they think and they believe that they're lost, then that's when we can get them saved. But you cannot get one saved that thinks they're already saved, but yet don't never show it. Don't never come to the house of the Lord. Don't never praise the Lord's name. Don't never speak about Jesus. You don't see somebody that loves the Lord, you go to church and you see if they're there. And then you go back to church that night, see if they're there. And if they don't have a Sunday night service, or if they don't have a Wednesday night service, see where they're at. See if they're at Walmart. See if they're Targets. See if they are at these places. Or see if they're at church somewhere. They don't have to. If their church don't have services, they're more than welcome to come down here when they don't have services. But they don't have to come down here to join a church. But they can't come in fellowship. We need to fellowship with other people. We need to fellowship with other Christians. We need to fellowship with other churches. But Danville, I don't know why, but the Danville's got this stigma about it that this church can't get along with that church. That church can't get along with this church. And the preacher, they can't get along with nobody. So they just stay at home.
That's what the stigma is about Virginia. Me and somebody else was talking about the same thing we was talking about. Me and this other preacher, well, matter of fact, it was me and James Albert. Before I even come down here, we'd go over to the church a couple days a week. We wouldn't get on, we'd get down the altar and we'd start praying down the altar. But then we'd get up and we'd walk. We'd walk around among the pews. And we'd put our hands on each and every pew on the outside rail or the inside rail where they had. And we'd pray for that pew. We'd pray for the people that's in that pew. We'd go to the classrooms and we'd pray for the classrooms. Some of the classrooms, they didn't have nobody in them, but we still went about and we prayed. The reason that we was doing that is Brother James said he wanted his people, he wanted the flock that God had given him, that they can get along with other Christians. That they can get along with other churches. Hey, I'm just as guilty as the next person. If somebody does something to me, or if somebody does something to my family, or if they say something wrong and say something that is not true about my family, hey, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not going to go around them no more. But still, even though I don't have to go around them, I can still pray for them. I can still go to their, should be able to go to their church. But I don't. Why? Because the pain hurt. Words hurt. Words hurt. This tongue that we all have does more damage in 10 seconds than an individual can do all their life if we allow it to happen. That's the reason I believe that we need to always have the Word of God on our heart. We need to always speak about Him. And I love to talk about my Lord. I love to talk about my Savior. Why? Because He went and He died for me. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for me. I didn't have to go to death. I didn't have to face death. I didn't have to go and face the grave. And then I didn't have to go and face hell like He done. But He did it. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. For who? For me and for you. He done it for us. He didn't do it for that dog outside. He didn't do it for that rabbit outside. He didn't do it for that goat that's outside. He didn't do it for the animals out here. He done it for the living soul. And we are the only one that's living, that breathes the fresh air, that has a soul. See, a dog don't have a soul. These animals, they don't have souls. And I've had people tell me, and you know, and I just kind of shrug it off and everything. They say, well, as soon as me and my dog gets to heaven, we're gonna both walk down there. The golden road. I'm not going to say, and I cannot say, what's going to be there and what ain't going to be there.
put anything that has been on the face of this earth that is corrupt is not going to face heaven. They're not going to even attempt to even try to go through the pearly gates. And I ain't talking about Peter being there either. I'm just saying they're not going to be able to go through the pearly gates. They ain't going to never be able to enter heaven. The only way they'll ever enter heaven. And I don't think it's going to be like that, but just like you go to the courthouse today. When you go to the courthouse, and then not only that, they even got them at the grocery stores today. You can go in there and you can pick up something that you want to buy, you want to purchase at the grocery store. Or you may have to need to go to the courthouse to be a witness for somebody. Or you may have to go to the courthouse for your own self. But when you do, what do you go through? You go through this thing up here. You walk through that. And it's screening you. If you've got any metal on you, it's going to detect it. If you go to the grocery store and you're buying groceries, and then if you accidentally, let's say, you pick up a candy bar or something like that, and I love candy, I mean, I always picking up a candy bar. Sometimes I've taught myself even taking it and putting it in my pocket like that so I wouldn't, you know, drop it. But then I go out the door and a bee. Hey, Peter ain't gonna be standing on the gate. I believe when we enter heaven, we may have a security there. When we walk through, come on. They may try to come and they may think, like someone that's, died on the operating table. They said they went to heaven. And then they come back. They ain't never entered heaven yet. They ain't never got saved yet. It doesn't make no difference. Every living soul, S-O-U-L, every living soul that entered into the portals of glory is going to have to go through his alarm detection. And I believe that detection is going to put it out of system. He's been covered. He's been covered. Yeah, he's been covered too. She's been covered. That's how I say it. They've been covered. See, the Lord Jesus Christ knows what we've been covered with. I've been covered with the blood, with his precious blood. I've been washed in his blood. I've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is written there in heaven. I sure am glad. I'm longing to see him. If he wants to take me home today by the grave or through the rapture, I am ready. I'm packed. My ticket's already been paid for. Already been paid for. and the flight is just not, has not taken off yet. When that flight, when it gets ready, I'm gonna be aboard it on that flight. I know that we're gonna go through the air. I've never wanted to fly. Never wanted to fly. Never wanted to be on an airplane. And I made a mistake one day of getting on a little small cub down in Clarksville. But my cousin down there was taking flying lessons. And he went down there to show me the plane that he was learning how to fly. And when I got there, he showed me the plane. And it was a pretty little plane. It really was. It wasn't a very big plane. I mean, it was one of the small cubs, whatever. He said, oh, I didn't think the trainer would be there today. I didn't think that one of the instructors was going to be here today. But he's over there. I'm going to go and see it. All right. We went over there. We talked to him. He talked to him. He asked him this and that about, you know, when the next time he's going to be out there to learn how to fly and everything. And the instructor asked my cousin. He said, what since you got here today? Says you want to go up in the plane? He said, yeah, he wants to go up. I'm staying here. I can go get the car. I'll stay here and y'all get back. He said, come on, you can't go. Well, no, I don't want to go. He says, come on and go. And like an idiot, and I call my own self an idiot, like an idiot, I come on and I win. And he was up there flying, he was really doing a good job. He was flying with the plane good and everything. And he was, you know, over Clarksville Lake down there. He was flying all around that and everything. And she, you know, and showing me the parts of the lake that I'd never seen. And the instructor was beside him, and he was right here. And I was sitting behind and braided back. And the instructor said, won't you go on and go down and get a little closer to the water? He said, no. He said, you really want me to? He said, yeah, go on and get a little closer to the water. Oh, he did. He started to dive down towards the water. Only thing I could see was the water coming. Only thing I seen was just a slab of cement, it looked like to me. And we started going down. And the instructor says, you're doing a good job. He said, my dad, you know when to pull up. He said, you know when to pull back on it, don't you? He said, yeah. And probably 30 seconds later, he did my cousin up there flying the plane in a nosedive, and he froze. He froze. And I think I did too, because I was seeing something that it wasn't God that I was seeing either, which I won't say back then. But I said to myself then, I said, Lord, I said, as long as we have got automobiles, and as long as we've got highways, I'm going to be on the highway.
because I think I can do a better job than I can in the air. Because the thing in the air, I don't know. Man repaired that. Man fixed that. The next thing I know is, man can also bring it down. I said to myself, nope, not me no more, not me.
And then I read the verse of scripture says, talking about God. And he says,
lo, I will always be with you. Lo, I will always be with you. So that's telling me, he said, you can fly low, and he's going to be with me. In other words, he's telling me, you can ride your automobile, and I'll be with you. Lo, I will always be with you. I just don't like flying. I just, that just broke with me right then. But
all right.
Well,
if Brother Bill comes and gets the song ready, we'll have one verse of a song, unless the Lord leads a little different. And if you need to come to the altar for any reason at all, if you just need a little closer walk with the Lord, you come. He's here, and he wants to meet with his people.
Yes.
Nothing else you can pray for the upcoming revival. We definitely need revival. I can use it. I mean, I know we've had some good revivals, we've had some good jubilees, but they've come and they've gone. Now, we're expecting and we are praying that the Lord Jesus will meet with us, that he will bring revival. And God will bring it through Brother James. Brother James speaks, as he opens his mouth, flows out the word of God. So it will stand.